Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldstein, and today we're going to be talking to Elliot Robertson. And let me lower the music so you can hear me a bit better. There you go. Much better. We are really happy to talk to Elliot Robertson today because he has not only written a book, which I love the title. The name of the book is Say Yes to Life, and it's really amazing how many times every day the majority of people say no to life and don't even live their life. So I think this book is one of those important reminders to actually live life the way it was probably meant to be, but I will let Elliot Robertson explain that to you. He is also a certified happiness workshop leader, and he has mastered and overcome so many obstacles that just being able to overcome the obstacles already puts you place where you begin to appreciate life on a higher level. And so I'm very excited to welcome Elliot Robertson to the show. And let me make sure that Elliot Robertson, you guys can hear him because he is right here. Hi, are you with us?
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for coming. We are really happy to have you on this beautiful morning in New York. I don't know what it's like anywhere else, but it really feels like spring, not like winter at all today. So I'm definitely saying yes to life on that level. I just love that book. I was reading it on the airplane on my way cross country, back and forth. And it's so inspirational, and it actually changes the way I related to the day, as opposed to when you read a book, you get information, and then you have to sit around and think, how do you utilize that information? How were you able to make your book so simple and so understandable so that you get it just by reading it?
I'm so humbled to get that feedback from you. I'm so glad it spoke to you and resonated. Of course, it might not be everyone's flavor. We all like different flavors of ice cream. The reason I think this book is different from most of the books out there is because, like you were saying, it's not a how-to book. It's a formula or a recipe for how to be happy. And a lot of books does have imaginary conversations, imaginary scenes and places. So I think that when somebody gets a chance to tap into their imagination, Maybe that was your experience also. Maybe that was part of what made it become sink in more and become more alive for you.
Yeah, it could be. It's like, you said, some books resonate with other people, and that's why there's different people writing different books, because if one book doesn't talk to you, and I think it also depends on where you're coming from and what you've been through. So what is it that you have, like, where do you come from? What is it that inspired you to do it? How did you begin the journey?
Well, you know, for all of my adult life, I've just been passionate about serving the world and uplifting people. I remember when I was 20, I just overheard a couple of women who I barely knew, a couple of acquaintances, talking with one another, and they were both saying to each other, I really want to heal the world. And when I heard them agree with each other on that, I immediately, like a flash of lightning, I knew that I didn't really want to heal the world. I wanted to uplift the world. That was the energy I wanted to bring with me into my work and into my life. Just, I guess what I was thinking of was uplifting everyone's consciousness and everyone's state of being. And, you know, when I write, I have a habit for years now of starting the day by writing poetry. And when I write a poem, I just get the first line. Also, when I write a short story, I just get a first line, and the rest of it unravels from there, one line at a time. I find out what the next line is. And my experience with this book was quite similar to that. It wasn't as if I decided, oh, I want to write a book called Say Yes to Life. The title came a little bit later after I discovered what I was writing about. One paragraph after another, it became evident that, yeah, this is all about saying yes to God, saying yes to life.
So you touched on something very subtle, which is the difference between healing the world and uplifting the world. And they do have some commonalities, but what do you see is the major difference when you approach things from perspective of healing or perspective from uplifting?
That's a very interesting question, and I haven't really given it much thought. I certainly respect and admire all the people in the world who are shamans or who are healing. That's a wonderful thing. And at the same time, I guess my inner pattern that I was born with might be slightly different from that. So what's the difference? I guess, you know, I'm just going to answer that question this way. I think the reason I might be so passionate about uplifting the world is because I was living as a child with a mother who had some depression problems. And I think we may have had a contract before I was born that I would be her kid. And so at this point, she's in a nursing home and I visit her. And I can say, thank you. You did a great job, Mom. You were depressed. And that's what I needed to get in touch with my passion for uplifting people. So that's sort of how it all began for me, I guess.
Wow. I'm so happy that I asked you something that to think about something in a different way, because it's really, I love words because I'm also a writer. I love to write. But really, if you look at the entire circle, when you're uplifting, automatic form of healing. Because when you hear the word healing, you kind of think, oh, well, you're sick, so you've got to heal yourself, right? And I think that's the part that doesn't resonate with you. Like, you don't want to see the world as the sick entity that needs to be healed. But I think when you uplift yourself, you also are healing whatever wounds you have. And I think that's a great answer.
I so appreciate your bringing that to my attention. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with that. That's definitely a bullseye. And I'm also reminded of the words that Jesus spoke in the Bible. I take truth from everywhere I can find it, including Jesus. He said something about when you uplift yourself, you uplift the whole world. That's a paraphrase.
Right. Exactly. So do you consider yourself a Christian?
I think of myself first and foremost as interspiritual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. spiritual, because it's interesting. I do believe, and I do, from my personal experience, believe in the fact that we were born, and that we're not born to nothing, and we don't go back to nothing, and that we definitely do have a contract with whatever it is that we're going to experience in life. And the things that are the hardest to experience are probably the lessons that you have to learn. So for you, it was your mother being depressed, and I'm sure that wasn't a pleasant childhood to live with a mother who was depressed, but yet it was your greatest gift. What was your turning point when you went from being wounded by that to saying yes to that, saying yes to the situation? Did you have a turning point?
I'm not so sure I have a turning point for that, but there is something else, that another thread of my life that I do have a turning point for, and I'd be glad to share a little bit about that. In my youth, I was living in New York City, and I was going around with a lot of jealousy and a lot of misery and bitterness every day, because I would go around and I would notice that a lot of people were sitting in outdoor cafes that I couldn't afford. I had a very low level of self-esteem. I was just going to the entry-level jobs and making peanuts and barely able to pay the rent. And I was just really feeling like here I was with this passion to serve the world, and I wasn't making any progress in that. And I was just blaming God for everything, blaming life, saying life's unfair. And it was just a constant argument with God from one minute to the next. Mm-hmm. I was always seeing something I could be jealous about. And So eventually what happened was, the turning point was basically just very gradually, I guess I was growing spiritually. And at some point, I eventually discovered, I just leveled with myself. I looked at things squarely, and I realized I have to take ownership of where I am in my life if I want to get beyond this. Otherwise, I'm going to continue to be jealous and bitter for the rest of my life. I just realized I have to stop blaming life, blaming God, stop saying everything's unfair. And I guess that really is sort of the first step for most of us, is to just take ownership and responsibility.
Wow. That's a beautiful evolvement. It's rather than, instead of getting hit over the head with something and you said, oh, I better change my way, you actually slowly evolve into the realization, which is really, really beautiful. I love that. And definitely comes through with the words that you write. It shows that I think the book itself also evolves from one yes to the next to the next. It's kind of like a spiral, which is really interesting that you said that, because it matches your own journey. Amazing. That's amazing. So what do you think it really is that sets your book apart from the other books? What specific point? Is it like the entire energy or something that you see differently?
Well, I did already allude to briefly that it does have some imaginary pieces to it here and there. There are scenes that engage the imagination. And I really do think that if your imagination is involved, that gives the information a chance to sink in on a deeper level. So that might be the main thing. And in addition, I'm just...
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I want to acknowledge in a humble way the gift I was given to write. I have discovered that my voice in writing is... For many people, it really does go deeply and touches something within them. And so I'm just so grateful to Source and to Spirit for giving me that gift as what I bring to the world. We all have gifts that we bring to the world. And I just encourage everyone to discover whatever that gift might be, or a bunch of gifts, and to go ahead and spend time with the gift and practice it.
Yeah, actually, you did mention that, and I do think that's a very powerful communication, is through imagination. Because I think once you activate the imagination with someone reading it, you take them to an entire different level. And the thing that's beautiful about your book, and I really encourage everybody to check it out, is that you do it in a natural way. It's not a forced way of like, okay, this is the rule, now let's go to the imagination. You don't do it like that. It just kind of is thread together in a very beautiful way. Really, really pleasurable. I would say it's small and sweet, short and sweet. It's very powerful.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, it is very short, and and it also has short little sections in it. Every chapter is short, and every chapter is divided into even shorter sections. I liked the book as something that could be self-care. For example, if you come back from work and you're really tired from the day, it's been nonstop, taking out a moment to just read one or two small sections. And then that way the book might last from one for quite a few days, for quite even though it can be a quick read. So I just like to think of it as sort of like a bubble bath at the end of the day or something like that, as opposed to a how-to book.
I
I mean,
like
I'm
that.
hoping that it'll
I
be an
like that.
uplifting read, you know. And so if you want to be uplifted every day for a little while, just read it in small sections, perhaps.
Yeah, for me, it definitely is an uplifting read. I really do enjoy it. And I can see how you would go to that for that. And I love that analogy of taking a bath or reading a chapter or even reading less than a chapter, just reading something to remind you that life, especially when life gets really difficult, and living in a big city like New York or where you get stuck in traffic, sometimes you just lose yourself so much, and something like that can really smack you right back into a place that is more real, that is more flowy, which is really, really nice. So I mentioned before that you're a happiness coach. And it's actually the first time I've heard that term, a happiness coach. I mean, I've heard of happiness hour and stuff like that, but a happiness coach is like takes happiness to a whole new level. Can you explain what that really means and how that's connected to your book?
Sure, I'd be glad to. A lot of people ask me what a happiness coach is because most people have never heard of it. And of course, I always have to start by explaining that a happiness coach can't really make anyone happy. No one can really make anyone happy. It's an end job. And what I can do and what I do do is I provide exercises for my clients to do that all have the chance of having an aha experience. I have designed a bunch of exercises, and I guess I borrowed a few also. And they sort of work together to just help people see what might be blocking their happiness or see what might be possible for a new way of dealing with things. I really do think that the time has come for us to be happy for no reason. And that's really the main focus is being happy for no reason. I don't approach happiness in terms of, well, let's just find a happy event to add to our necklace of pearls today, and then we'll look for another happy event tomorrow, and so on and so forth. That can really be a trap if you're depending on outside events to make you happy. So, wow, there's nothing wrong with celebrating the promotion you got today. That's wonderful. Or creating a happy picnic for you and your kids to go to, or a trip to the zoo. Happiness for reasons are wonderful. Happiness for good reason. And then happy for no reason is that day-to-day level of happiness that's sort of your default that you return to after things settle down. And I really do believe that we can all raise that level of happiness up a notch.
Oh, that sounds good. So basically, what you're saying, from what I understand, is that the happiness coaching is to go from being happy because of and just being happy because I want to be happy without any definite something happened and that's why I'm happy. Is that what you're saying?
That
To
can
kind of
be
take
the,
that, make that switch.
yeah, that can be the journey. Certainly relying on being happy for good reason and just relying on that exclusively is not going to really change that default level. It's not going to really do much to lead you on the journey to a happier life. So it's important to raise the level of being happy for no reason. I think the mystics, many of the mystics may have been happy for no reason. They were living very ordinary lives without a whole lot of extraordinary things happening. And yet, I think they found a lot of contentment and happiness. The focus that I really focus on is not happiness. I never have conversations with happiness about happiness with any of my clients. What we're really going for is inner harmony and a side effect of inner harmony and alignment. a side effect or a byproduct is happiness. That just shows up on its own.
Yeah, that makes sense, because it's the other way around, also being happy because of something. If you're just happy for no reason, then a lot of things happen around you to make you happy for that reason. So that kind of is connected.
Yeah, you know, it might be easier to understand if you just think of me as a inner harmony coach, and maybe I'll change my title to that at one point. Also, you can think of me as a spiritual growth coach, because I really am being a companion and a coach for gradual spiritual growth.
Yeah, both of those. Harmony and happiness and light and all those kind of make me feel like lighter. It makes me feel like that's the direction that I want to go towards, for sure, to be able to dwell in this place where I'm happy and in harmony, and somehow the things that don't make me so happy and harmonious don't affect me to the point where they throw me off that path.
So I so appreciate that. You use the word direction, and I really feel like, in a way, that really is the key. It can be the key for many of us. When we're walking in the direction of heaven, then we are in heaven. If you're walking in that direction, if that's where you're facing, then you're going to have a heavenly, uplifted experience. If you're walking in another direction, you're in hell. And I've walked in lots of different directions, both heaven and hell. So I know what I'm talking about. You also said something about how it's wonderful to have a happy and harmonious life. And I agree with you. And just to be clear, I think that the theme we need to go after is the harmony part of it. Because if we chase happiness, it's going to be elusive. You can think of a happiness house as a metaphor. And the front door is not going to open very easily. If you just go directly, make a beeline for the happiness house and go straight to the front door and make a direct approach, the door is probably going to be stuck. You're just not going to have a high level of happiness from one day to the next using that door. If you go around to the back door, where we have a couple of back doors, alignment and inner harmony, you can get into the happiness house, and that will just show up. The happiness is something that shows up on its own as the fruit of the happiness of the inner harmony tree. It's the fruit. We need to be fertilizing the inner harmony tree, not the happiness tree.
Yeah, that is so powerful. And a lot of people are saying that the same thing about money. If you chase money, you can never have money, because the act of chasing automatically makes it run away from you, the whole image. Chase money, it runs away from me, and I'm always going to be chasing and never tagging it. I chase happiness, happiness is going to be running away. So chasing things is not the kind of energy, I guess, that really gets you where you want to go.
That's right.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't know if you have it, and I don't want to throw it at you, but do you have any paragraph from the book that you want to read for people that might be curious about certain things about the book?
Sure, I'd be glad to read just a paragraph or so. One moment. There we go. This is from a chapter called Say Yes to Freedom from the Past. And part of saying yes to freedom from the past is getting yourself free from all of the self-images you've carried around, especially from the limiting self-images, limiting beliefs, limiting opinions about yourself, and the negative opinions about yourself. And according to St. Francis, it's difficult to let go of any beliefs and replace them with new ones, but it's particularly difficult when it's beliefs that are close to identity. The self-image sticks because it's based on seeming evidence. A moment when you were less than gracious has informed your self-image as socially unskilled. The one time you performed poorly at a piano recital, making several mistakes, left you branded with humiliation and the belief or the opinion that you cannot count on yourself to excel when you are under pressure. These opinions stick because you cling to them. The ego is always glad to pull you your gaze away from the joy and the satisfaction. And beliefs of any sort, positive or negative, create an order in your life by giving you a map of who you are. So those are the attachment to having a map of who you are and the ego's desire to pull you away from joy are things that make it very difficult to say goodbye to your old self-images. And it's something that is really helpful and important.
Yeah, becoming aware of that is important, because I think one of the big problems is that you go through that loop, but you're not aware of what's keeping you there. You're not aware of what it is. And becoming aware that, yeah, the ego is pulling you in that direction and facing it, I think that makes it easier to be able to deal with it if you know what it is. It's almost like going from being unconscious to being conscious. That's a very powerful paragraph that you read.
Thank you. Yes, that is so key, to go from unconscious to conscious, as you were saying. And you know, that is also a path. Going from unconscious to conscious is a path that really opens the way for becoming aware of the joy that resides in your heart. I believe that we're born with an undercurrent of joy in our heart, and it stays with us throughout our lives. And yet we're so distracted and unconscious and so caught up in the monkey mind throughout our lives that we don't necessarily tap into that, at least not with a lot of great totality, with full force, with full receptivity, I mean. So I just really encourage everyone to, you know, leave the mind behind, leave the distractions behind, and just try to get aware of that undercurrent of joy in your heart.
So you're saying that it's already there. You just have to become aware of it. It's not that you have to find it and put it in your heart. It's that you were born with it and it's already in there. And
yes,
once you find it, you basically just pull it out.
Yes, we can just tap into it anytime we're feeling like we need to get connected with who we are and with our joy. And, you know, when we do that, when we tap into our joy, I think it also brings about a state where we have more clarity. I really think that we're in a wonderful era right now, a wonderful time when we're being invited to really just fall in love with who we are, to become more aware of who we are, to leave the unconsciousness behind, to really become aware of the light within us, the joy within us, all of God's image that's within us, all of the spirit that is just at the very depths of our being.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. It kind of feels to me like you're a bright sunshine point where people can come to remember who they really are, which is what they forgot from the burden to take on themselves. And I get that from this one paragraph that you have in your book, and it's on page 43, and it says, and I think it's a metaphor of this whole concept, and then at the end you say, "I'm ready to extend your love, to pour your water onto the garden soil. Here I am, I'm ready to serve the purpose for which I was born by relating to all that I encounter with compassion." And so I think it's like when you run through the burdens and you take on every burden that comes your way, oh, my God, it's traffic, heavy. Oh, my God, my boss yelled, it's heavy. And then you come to you, it's almost like, oh, now I can breathe. Now I can take in, I can take a moment and say, yes, there are positive, beautiful things in my life that I have to become aware of.
Oh,
that's
thank
really
you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm so glad you're able to listen to the book with your heart's ears.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I'm just curious. You said you were in New York City for a while. Did you escape New York City?
Well, I wasn't really escaping New York. I was just being pulled to Philadelphia a number of years ago. And I'm close enough to New York that I can still go there and visit friends from time to time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it may not be an escape, but I see it as an escape because for me it was an escape. But if people want your book or they want to get a hold of you, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can go to www.sayyestolifebook.com. And when you go there, even if you're not interested in the book, you can just go there and get a gift. I'm giving away a guided visualization for no charge. And it also comes with an excerpt from the book. And it comes with a special exercise for appreciating life. Appreciating is sort of like a bridge to gratitude. So it's a wonderful way to get the momentum going towards gratitude. And gratitude and happiness go hand in hand. So feel free to go get all of that bundle of gifts. And with no obligation. And once again, the website is www.sayyestolifebook.com.
Yeah, so I just went here and it's sayyestolifebook.com. It's really nice, and it's and you have like right at the front, you have the about the book, so you'll find out more information about the book, and then you have the gift button that you can push, and about the author, and then you have the cover of the book, which is Say Yes to Life, and a whole bunch of other information that you might be interested in, and some testimonies. So yeah, it's a really nice, and again, it's small, compact, but every word is like big and expansive, and it's going to expand. And that's like the most important thing when you have something to say. You don't have to say it with 1,000 words. If you can say it in 3 words and it has the same effect, that's really powerful. Thank you so much just for writing it, and thank you so much for this book. It is really, really beautiful. And what about the coaching? If someone is interested in coaching with you, how does that work? How do they contact you?
Yes, I have an introductory level coaching that is called Embracing Who You Are, and it's about embracing every voice and every part of you unconditionally. And you can find information about the private coaching that I do if you go to my website, and the link to my website is on that page about the book. So just go to www.sayyestolifebook.com, and then you can find a link to my website.
Which is, okay, so you scroll down a little bit, and then there's a yellow icon that says Elliot Robertson, and click here to purchase a book, receive an excerpt from the book. Where is the...
Yeah, it's in the bio section.
It's in the bio section. Okay, so you go on to About the author, and then you can contact Elliot and try out your... Oh, that's how you can... Okay, I see. To contact Elliot, you can just fill out your name. And I guess tell you that you want to try out the coaching. Do you do coaching over the phone on Skype or in person only? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, I have clients throughout the country, and we always meet on Zoom.
Ah, Zoom. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. So there you go, guys. You know where to get a hold of Elliot Robertson, and you know how to find the book. It's one of those little books that you can take with you. It's not heavy, and it's cute, And as you travel, for me, I travel a lot, cross country, back and forth, from the west to the west, from the east to the east, and I like having something like that with me that is not electronic, so I don't have to plug in everywhere I go. And that's the reason I actually took your book with me. It's small, it's compact, and I could just throw it in any corner, and it doesn't add anything, and it was really nice to have something like that on the airplane. So I highly recommend it, and I think you're doing a wonderful job, and I want to thank you so much for doing it and appreciate it. And thank you for joining Tippy Talk. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you.
And now we've come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk with me, Tippy Feldenstein, and with our guest today, Elliot Robertson. We hope you enjoyed it. We're looking forward from hearing from you. And you too, Elliot. We're looking forward to hearing from you again soon. It has been a great pleasure speaking to you. And thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you.
And don't forget, everybody, your story is important. And if you do want to tell us your story, if you do want to talk about it, or if you've written a book, please contact me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com. Until we meet again, have a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream, always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee.
Thank you, Elliot. That was fantastic. Hello?
And I say it like it's my mantra.
Follow away with me. אני הולך לתת לך עוד שני. טוב, את אוהבת עוד שני, נכון? אני הולך לעשות את זה עכשיו. נכון לנו, את אשתי את זה, אז אני יודע שיש לך טובה היום נפשי בגוד. ניתן לך להרגיש קצת יותר טוב. עוד קצת. משפחה לנו לעשות